When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Hello and welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on FNTSY. Be sure you're following us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at In This League Pod, at Is The Welsh for In This League. And I am joined by Nick Allen, the owner and proprietor of CFB Winning Edge. We're talking the bowl games in hour one. We're just breaking down a bunch of, you know, the matchups from the Fiesta Bowl and the Peach Bowl. We ended hour one on the Fiesta Bowl, but we didn't get to talk about your picks against the spread on the over under, Nick. So this game, highly contested. This one has been picked differently among most people, way more than LSU and Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl. Most people are on LSU. So Clemson versus Ohio State, the line is Clemson by 2. The over is 63.5. Who do you have straight up against the spread, and are you hitting on that over or the under?
Well, I thought I was smart for a minute when I was running the initial numbers, and we do try to get our numbers out to our patrons before the odds makers. So when they would release on Sunday afternoon, we basically have ours ready to go by the end of the night on Saturday night. And once the conference championship games were wrapping up, and I knew Clemson had been our number one ranked team basically since Tua Tagovailoa had his first ankle injury this year. Clemson moved into that number one spot in our numbers. And so I knew that they would be a little bit favored, but I thought we were maybe ahead of the curve there, and Ohio State had been the number one team in the playoff ratings and all that sort of stuff. But we had Clemson favored by a field goal, basically. And lo and behold, when the odds makers released their numbers, Clemson was favored by 1, I think, at first, and then it moved up. So I thought maybe we were going to have a bigger edge in this game than we did. But we do have Clemson to win. Have Clemson to cover. I'm pretty much for whatever reason at this point, I sort of default to the under. I think especially in bowl games, you get a lot of people in the market that, you know, people love to bet overs if they're going to go for a total. So I think there's a little bit more value on the under. But at this point, our numbers haven't really incorporated much as far as the over-unders go. But that is something we're looking to do next year. So my opinion is under. I think that there's just sort of a little bit more value on the under pretty much in every bowl game, to be honest with you. That's something we're going to take a longer look at in the future to actually have some numbers to back that up.
Now, these two teams, this is the most impressive thing to me. They were 1-2 in margin of victory. So what would your level of surprise be if this game ended up in a blowout win either way? If Ohio State runs away with it, or if Clemson, because specifically last year, I think if someone wins in a blowout, it would probably be Clemson, as Fields is coming in, like he said, 80-85% off of this knee sprain. And Clemson hasn't really been hugely tested. We talked about this a little bit on CFB Winning Edge recently, where Clemson hasn't been as tested as Ohio State. I like Ohio State in this game personally, but I think if it is a blowout, I think it would be a Clemson blowout. So how surprised would you be if that happened, knowing that these two teams have had the biggest margin of victory in college football? They're 1-2 this season.
I would be shocked if this is a blowout one way or the other. And anything can happen in a given game. You know, we could talk about it's a funny shaped ball and it bounces in funny ways. And so sometimes weird things happen. But I would be shocked if it's a blowout. I think that this is arguably the most evenly matched bowl game that we've got, just, you know, down the entire list. I think these two teams in a lot of ways are a mirror image of one another, just from a talent standpoint, from just the elite players that they've got individually on defense. And I'm so excited for this game, probably the most exciting I've been for a game in years that I can remember, because I think these teams are the top two teams in the country. They're number one and number two in our team strength ratings. And as you mentioned, margin of victory, and a stat that I love is probably my very favorite stat is actually net yards per play. And they're the number one and two teams in that statistic, man, as well. So Clemson has outgained its opponents by over 3.5 yards per play. And we were talking earlier about the LSU and Oklahoma defenses allow between 5 and 5.25 yards per play. Well, Clemson is outgaining its opponents. So take their yards that they gain per play, subtract the yards that they allow per play, and what's left over is 3.5 yards. That's incredible. Ohio State ranks number 2 in the country in that category, and they've outgained their opponents by 3.09 yards per play. So it's almost a half yard difference, which is a giant amount. But, you know, top two teams in the country. So I'm so excited for this game. I think it's going to come down to the, you know, final minutes. I would be shocked if one team blows out the other.
Now, as long as you're available when it comes around, because the national title game is on January 13th. So as long as you're available, we will get you back to break down the game once we have, you know, we know injuries and who's obviously going to actually play in the game. But in the scenario that you put forward, LSU versus Clemson in the national title game, assuming that there's no major injuries either way, how do you see that game playing out at this point in time right now?
So I'm glad you mentioned injuries, because one thing that we do that a lot of, you know, projection models that are out there don't is we do take injuries into account. And, you know, because we're able to do individual player ratings, we're able to incorporate more than one player as a quote unquote starter that gets that heaviest weight. And at this point, unfortunately, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been questionable to, you know, potentially doubtful at this point in the week, we've had to split his number, and running backs are important in our numbers. And he's a 100 rated player, and the guy second on the depth chart, Davis Price, Tyrion Davis Price, is just about an 80. So that brings their number down a little bit. That is factored into this projected point spread. So at this point, not knowing his full situation, Clemson would be favored by almost 7.5 points. And that seems high to me, quite honestly.
Yeah.
LSU, you know, is the number one ranked team according to the playoff committee. Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner. Offense has been incredible. Defense, as we talked about, better than perhaps it gets credit for. But our numbers just absolutely love Clemson. And, you know, yes, they haven't been tested very much. Yes, they played a weak schedule, but they have been completely dominant. And they just have such high level individual players. And, you know, Dabo Swinney has a track record of success. He has a 100 head coach rating, which is, of course, as high as it gets as far as our numbers go. So all those factors combined, we give Clemson a pretty big edge here. If Edwards-Helaire is fully healthy, that number is going to drop a little bit. I would say that he's probably worth a point, you know, in that range. And then if LSU blows out Oklahoma, I don't see it happening, but if they were to win by, you know, two or three touchdowns or, you know, three touchdowns or more, then there's a chance they could close that gap to within maybe 5 points, something like that. But we're probably going to have Clemson favored. I would expect a good bit more than a field goal and potentially about a touchdown.
Do you have the number if Ohio State winds up upsetting Clemson, who would be favored in a Ohio State versus LSU national title game? Because that's actually the one that I have playing out, because I feel Ohio State is one of the best teams I've ever seen. So I mean, this is such a great playoff, by the way. I think the top three teams are just absolutely incredible. LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson are nuts this year. Oklahoma is very, very good, but I just don't think that they're in the top three level of those teams. So if it was LSU versus Ohio State, what would the line on a game like that be?
At this point, it'd be 3.5 points. All that stuff about
Edwards-Helaire
for Ohio State.
Oh, okay. For Ohio
State. So Ohio State would be a 3.5 point favorite. If Edwards-Helaire is fully healthy, that probably drop down to about 2.5, something like that. So we have Ohio State and Clemson, or excuse me, Clemson and Ohio State, respectively, are our number one and number two ranked teams, and LSU is number three. Alabama is actually number four, and Oklahoma number five. So, if nothing crazy happens, that's sort of where it would fall. I would expect Ohio State to be about a field goal favorite.
Now, let's do some reflection. And, you know, we had a fantastic 2019 season. This was one of my favorite college football seasons, where Texas didn't play well, of course. Unfortunately for me, I was depressed about that. But I had a lot of fun talking college football with you this year. And obviously we play in a lot of college fantasy leagues and stuff like this. So let's do a little reflecting. And I just want to know if we're looking at the overall season here, Nick. What were a couple of your favorite games from this year?
So I was trying to think back at games I was most excited for, and it might sound silly, but it's hard to get as excited for a game as I do about the week zero games, because
it's all kicking off. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And there's, you know, there were only two games this year. You had Florida and Miami, and then you had Arizona and Hawaii. And I'm looking forward to them all year. As I mentioned, I'm already looking ahead to 2020. So as I'm building up trying to refine the model and different weights and all that sort of stuff, my eyes are always on those first few games, and I just can't wait to get started. So that's always going to be up there as far. And they turned out to be pretty good games. I mean,
yeah,
Miami, we saw a pretty big edge for Florida, but Miami played it much tighter than we expected. And then Hawaii pulls out an outright upset.
That game was so crazy, Nick. That game, you know, Arizona came in favored by over 10 points. They were 10.5-point favorite in that game. And Cole McDonald threw four touchdowns and four interceptions and got benched as Hawaii won that game. It was crazy.
And last play of the game, Khalil Tate almost scrambled 30 yards or whatever it was for what could have been a tying touchdown. But a Hawaii defensive lineman tracked down Khalil Tate, one of the fastest quarterbacks in the country, and was able to, he came up a half yard short or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was the end of the Patriots and Titans or the Rams and Titans Super Bowl. So, he's just a couple yards short. It was crazy.
So that was a great way to kick off the year. And then, each week has its huge games. I was very excited for LSU Texas, of course, really excited for LSU Alabama. And that one turned out to be a lot of fun. One that, just thinking back on it, how it played out, North Carolina was involved in a couple of really, really good ones.
Oh, God, the North Carolina Clemson game.
Yeah, exactly. They were talking about a couple of yards from victory. They almost knocked off our number one team.
Just imagine if that had happened too. Like, is Clemson in? First of all, are they in the conference title game if they lose that one?
They would be in the conference title game, but would they have gotten into the playoff? I'm not sure because of all the schedule stuff.
Right.
I mean, everybody was so down on the ACC and the schedule Clemson has played, and understandably so. So at that point, the conversation we had about Oklahoma, were they deserving? We'd be having it about Clemson as a one loss team. You'd think, okay, well, still they won the ACC. They, have one fewer loss than Georgia and all that. But I could have seen more of an argument for Georgia to get in, or somebody else to get in instead of Clemson. So it would have been a tougher conversation. But then North Carolina also against Virginia Tech. That was one I remember watching and was just, couldn't take my eyes off of, because it was the first that we've seen to use the new, quadruple overtime is when you start going to the dueling 2-point conversions, which personally I think is kind of dumb, but the game itself was so much fun to watch and back and forth, and was really a turning point for Virginia Tech. So that was one that came to mind, but there were so many. This year, as you said, has just been so much fun. It really has been a great year. And I think that this is the best group that we've got in a playoff, and the most well-balanced playoff as well. So everything is still to be decided on that front, and that's exciting.
Yeah. What was the game where the kid pitched it back to the other team? Now I'm losing it here. The really goofy play at the end where it was Kansas versus Texas Tech. Is that what it was?
Yes.
That game.
Was a fun one.
God, yeah. That game sticks out in my mind because Texas Tech had that game won. And oh, good Lord, just an unbelievable choke job by them. But there's been so many good games this season.
And about UCLA and Washington State? We watched that one together. we were recording as that one happened.
We were recording.
30 points or something, and
so
UCLA.
There's just so many things going on. Nick and I were recording. We do the In This League College Fantasy Football podcast, where we talk about who to pick up and all that stuff late Saturday night as the games are wrapping up. We go over the big performers, the guys that disappointed and all that stuff. And as that game was happening, we're watching it and recording, and I had Washington State's defense because UCLA couldn't score with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and all of a sudden he turns into Peyton Manning and starts throwing six touchdowns, and that game wound up as the highest scoring game of the year, and I lost a bunch of leagues because of it, of course. because I picked up Washington State everywhere because they just were not scoring any points, UCLA, and they really started kicking up in their offense after that. But we have to hit a break. We're going to take a break here. We're going to reflect on the rest of the 2019 season and maybe take a little bit of look of ahead to 2020 as well for college football. So stick with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering
and...
Littering
in this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm here with my buddy Nick Allen, the owner of CFB Winning Edge. Check out his Patreon, CFB Winning Edge, patreon.com/CFB Winning Edge, for all the rest of the games that are going on. I mean, I believe there's like 17, 18 more bowl games after Saturday. So if you are betting, go and take a look at his Patreon and it's a great tool for you to use. I mean, obviously, I don't think any better uses just one tool, but go look at his stuff. You've heard him breaking down all these games. The guy knows what he's talking about. The system is proven. It's really, really good. So I would check it out and absolutely use it. So we were reflecting on the 2019 season here, Nick, and I asked you about your favorite games, and well, we pulled out a bunch of that one, and I still, that Washington State game, I almost wish you hadn't brought it up, because it makes my blood boil so much, because I feel like that was a turning point in my college fantasy football season for the worst moving forward. But what about just overall? It doesn't have to be, it's however you want it. If it's team-based, because that's what you are obviously working the hardest on, let's go there. But biggest positive surprise for you, what were the teams or players or situations, whatever it was, that you reflected on from the 2019 season? You're like, man, this was a surprise, and they are much better than I thought they were going to be.
Well, so sort of the first thing that comes to mind when I talk about a big positive surprise, as I mentioned, we're looking ahead so much to week zero, right? So I'm doing that for our entire 1 through 130 ratings, our team strength ratings, because there are some that just jump out like, oh my God, this team is too high? Why is this team so high? And, you know, they're on the other end, why is this team so low? So the first thing that comes to mind when I'm thinking of surprises is, okay, on some of those teams where we expected, you know, a higher finish than pretty much anybody else, or what you would read in a magazine or you know, any other projection system. That was the first thing to mind that came to mind. And Baylor was one of those teams. We were pretty high on Baylor compared to a lot of people. They were firmly in our top 25 at the beginning of the year, and they actually rated much higher than I expected in things like roster strength. And then as the course of the year, as the year progressed, they were putting up huge team performance ratings. They were pretty much a top 10 team all year as far as our team performance game grades. So, you know, they were playing like a top 10 team, and a lot of people might have thought like, oh, Baylor is just, you know, they're not this good. They won so many close games against not great teams and all this sort of stuff. And there's certainly a point to be made for that. But as far as the statistics that we take into account and you know, put pretty heavy emphasis on, they were performing really, really well. So they were a positive surprise. Sort of on the flip side, Wisconsin, we didn't expect very much of. They were in the mid 30s at some point because we do incorporate all sorts of, you know, roster moves and injuries and things like that. They slipped into like the high 40s, but they just came out completely on fire. You know, three shutouts in non-conference play and just early in the season, we're playing like a top five team, a playoff contender. They slipped a little bit, as you mentioned earlier today about the loss to Illinois, came out of nowhere. But other than that, Wisconsin, I think we all could argue is
I mean, they had four shutouts, right? Wisconsin?
Right. Good. Yeah, they were incredible defensively, especially early in the year. And you know, they ran up against one of the best Ohio State teams we've seen in some time, twice, and that's certainly going to hurt. But Wisconsin was an excellent, excellent team. I'm excited for that Rose Bowl as well. But a couple that's, you know, stood out elsewhere, Kansas State, we were higher on than most people, so I was pretty proud that they performed basically as our preseason projections expected. And we didn't have them beating Oklahoma, but had them pretty much finishing with the same record. And we were pretty high on the hire of Chris Klieman, their head coach. And that program, I think, has a bright future. I think that they they have potential to build on this year for sure. Oregon State was a fun team. I mean, they came very close to becoming bowl eligible, and you know, in the preseason, anybody doing a Pac-12 power rating, you know, power rankings, it was obviously Ohio State or Oregon State is number 12, and then you know, you go from there. But they took a huge step forward. They used the transfer portal quite well, improved their defense through adding, you know, some talent through the transfer portal, and they made some strides, and I think they're going to be a pretty exciting team here in the future. SMU did some similar things and had a really big year, and our numbers were higher on SMU than most, so I was happy about that. Minnesota. Oh. Somewhat similar to Wisconsin. We didn't respect Minnesota very much. Our numbers didn't. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, everyone respects Fleck for the row the boat stuff and the great job that he's done, but no one expected this.
No, 10 wins certainly didn't. They came in our preseason ratings at 45th, I think. Huge year for them. Very exciting. They did just lose their offensive coordinator. Unfortunately, he's going to Penn State. And so that's kind of interesting, just a few days before the bowl game. But incredible year for Minnesota. I think looking ahead, they're going to be the favorite in the Big Ten West next year. I think it's going to work out that way. It'll be very close with Wisconsin, but our early numbers, we're starting to get things lined up a little bit for a starting point for 2020, and it looks like Minnesota might be our highest-rated preseason Big Ten West team. So that's a huge accomplishment for a team that we thought, you know, bowl eligible, sure, but Big Ten West challenger. I didn't see it. So those were a few of the exciting teams, surprising that jumped out to me. But I think Baylor maybe being the biggest surprise in a good way for me. Wisconsin maybe in a bad way, since we didn't see it coming.
And now let's go on the negative side here. And it's unfortunate, and all the fun trope, you hate to see it, blah, blah, blah. I know that my Longhorns are going to be in this negative surprise section here. And I can't argue it. They were bad this season. So, but who else would you put in the negative surprises for 2019?
Well, Alabama was our preseason number one. So, you know, I'd never like our preseason number one to fall out of the playoff picture as somebody that does this sort of thing basically all day, every day. But then as a college football fan, I was kind of happy that LSU rose up and knocked Alabama off. And it was also good that Auburn beat Alabama, so we didn't have to argue all, you know, however many weeks about, even though Alabama didn't make the SEC championship game, should they be in the playoff and all of that. So from a negative, you know, certainly don't want to see a player like Tua, any player, but certainly somebody like Tua Tagovailoa get injured.
Right.
That I think had a huge impact, of course, in both of those losses. And they fell all the way to number four in our current numbers with Tua, of course, out. So that was a bit of a negative in some ways, but a positive in others. You mentioned Texas. We weren't as high as a lot of people on Texas. I think they were 23rd, something like that, in our preseason ratings. I think people,
which is probably where they should have been, to be honest with you. When you look at everything, Texas had a rough schedule, I think 23 is probably about right for them.
It, you know, and that's where I just noticed this. That's where they are. Right now, they're 25 for us.
25,
sorry.
So, okay.
but I think people glossed over the productive members of the 2018 defense that they lost, and certainly I know you have mentioned often how the tackling was such an issue for Texas this year, and that's something that for whatever reason people just sort of didn't give a whole lot of weight to, I think, in the preseason. And so it was disappointing. Did not see five losses for Texas by any stretch. I didn't see them win in the Big 12, but we did think they were a solid number two team in the Big 12. That was a bit of a disappointment, but more so probably two of our bigger disappointments. One that we were way too high on, and this is something I want to dive into more as we're looking ahead to 2020, because they've already had a sort of a weird, wild off season. Is Stanford. We were higher on Stanford than anybody anywhere, and it made me incredibly nervous, and for good reason, because this was not a Stanford team. I mean, they had a ton of injuries, which of course we couldn't see coming, but we were just too high on them. And I think, I got to figure out why exactly that was. I know they had a fairly experienced roster at the beginning of the year, and they have recruited quite well traditionally and from a per player standpoint, but the depth really wasn't there, and we didn't account for that. And I think we had just some, you know, we had them favored in a lot of games, but by just the tiniest of margins. We actually had them favored, I think, in 11 regular season games, which of course now sounds ridiculous. At the time, it sounded it was a bit unnerving for me, but a lot of those were, you know, a point, a half a point, even a quarter of a point. And so for them to reach their full potential that our numbers saw, they would have had to win a lot of coin flips, and that just obviously, you know, certainly didn't happen. The injuries didn't help, but this was a team that we swung and missed on big time, and got to kind of figure it out what went wrong. But also, they have over a dozen players in the transfer portal already, so it's going to be an interesting offseason for Stanford as well. And then similarly, somewhat similarly, is Nebraska. We had Nebraska in our sort of almost evenly matched with Minnesota in the 30s and low 40s. Didn't see him as a preseason top 25 team.
They were supposed to be better than this, though. Adrian Martinez was supposed to come into his own, and you know, Scott Frost was finally. Is this year two for him? Is that right?
Yeah.
So year two. Mm-hmm. He was. I mean, obviously, year four, year five is where you want to really put on your new head coach because they have a full recruiting class. But this was supposed to be a better year for them for sure.
It was, and they had a very manageable schedule, even though they were ranked in the 30s and 40s in the preseason for us. We did have them favored in nine games, and they certainly fell far short of that. We had them in the mix in the Big Ten West, even though we didn't see them as a top 25 team, did have them as a division challenger, and they weren't, you know, injuries again had something to do with it, but some of it was just didn't quite play to their potential, and that's a little bit concerning moving forward, because I think Nebraska maybe, I think we're going to be much higher on them in 2020. I think they have a chance to be a top 30 team in our preseason, and wouldn't be surprised if they're a top 25 team. So that will, you know, maybe they're the Stanford of 2020. Maybe they'll be the one making me nervous, but they were a disappointment as well. And of course, some other teams, Northwestern, South Carolina, we had those teams in the 30s in the preseason. They weren't there. And there are a few others similar to that, but Stanford is just the one that stands out to me the most.
What about reflecting on this season? And I know it's been around, I think, for this was the second season, if I'm not mistaken, but the transfer portal. Do you think this is something good for college football? Because I personally love it. I think if the coaches are allowed to move, that the players should be allowed to move. So what did you think about the transfer portal?
I agree. And I understand that it can be frustrating as a fan, you know, and I grew up a Georgia fan. I went to Georgia. And so, you know, if you're rooting for a team like that and to get a number one, number two, five star quarterback like Justin Fields, you don't like that he would choose to leave. But then on the flip side, why shouldn't he be able to? If it's not working for him, if he would rather go somewhere else, you know, if I was just a student at the University of Georgia and decided it wasn't for me, I could go the next semester wherever I wanted, no problem. And so why shouldn't he be able to do that? So I do think that it's fine. You know, I don't necessarily have a strong opinion on whether players should sit out or any of that. It probably would be nice to have a little more uniform situation where does everybody get one free transfer? Does everybody have to sit out a full year? You know, maybe some one of those two extremes would be better than the, you know, get a waiver approved type thing, perhaps. But overall, I think it's fine. And, you know, selfishly from the CFB winning edge perspective, I like it a lot because it's a lot to keep up with. And people that do the things that we do, you know, a lot of things can slip through the cracks. So when we're going through and updating our rosters, our team profiles, we take transfers into account. We try to stay as top, you know, as much on top of it as anybody out there. I think we do a pretty good job of it. So that perhaps gives us a competitive advantage for somebody that really, really wants to dive into a detailed, you know, team by team rating system. We capture, I think, a little bit more of those than maybe most do.
I think the transfer portal is fantastic. I think it's great for the players, gives them options. I think it's great. But what I'm kind of torn on, and we got about a minute left before the break here, Nick, but what I'm torn on is like what Houston did with the good players redshirting because the year isn't going well. What did you think about that?
It was a little weird. It was. And it's first of all, Derek King, I don't know that I trust that he'll be back at Houston. You know, I take him at his word, I guess, that or maybe I should take him at his word. But I just don't. I just have a feeling he maybe ends up somewhere else. But it is.
Maybe even playing a different position. to get ready for the NFL. And so
it's possible. I mean, he has played receiver before at the collegiate level. So it's certainly possible. That situation specifically is a little bit weird because, yeah, it just seemed like a self-imposed year zero for Dana Holgorsen. And maybe it works out. Maybe it ends up in a rule change. I know there's been some discussion of that, but a little strange. Have to see how it works out. Don't really have a strong opinion on it, but was maybe a little bit taken aback by it. Just hadn't,
yeah. I mean, it was super, super surprising, but we got to hit a break. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in the last segment of hour two, and we are going to do a little more reflection on 2019, but also look ahead to 2020. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRotor.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRotor.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRotor.com, where millionaires are made.
In this league
is cooking.
Welcome back. It's the last segment of hour two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Find me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. We're talking college football with my friendo Nick Allen, the owner of CFB Winning Edge at CFB Winning Edge. And we were just talking about some of the surprises, the positives, the negatives about the 2019 season. And then, we talked a little bit about the redshirting and the transfer portal, things that we're both, the transfer portal we're both into. The redshirting we're a little bit questionable on. There might be some changes. I like the four, like your guy can get into four games, but I don't like the fact that a guy, just because the season isn't going well and he hasn't played in games, would then get to redshirt and get an extra year of eligibility. That's a little strange to me. I don't know that I dislike it or like it. I'm just unsure about it so far. Nick, I kind of think before we hit the break, you were saying the same thing, right? This just isn't, we don't have a complete grade because we haven't seen this play all the way out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the four game rule on paper, when it first came out, everybody thought like, oh, this is perfect. And it made a lot of sense. And in a lot of ways it does, but didn't necessarily see it being used quite in the way it has. And I'm not against it. Don't have strong feelings against it, but yeah, it is just sort of a, guess we'll have to wait and see sort of thing. So yeah, I'm on the same page with you, I think, for sure.
Now, there are a couple weird things this year. The Chase Young suspension. We've seen some dumb suspensions in college football, but was this the dumbest one we've ever seen?
It was very unfortunate. And unfortunately we have seen some, somewhat similar to that come to mind, or Todd Gurley and AJ Green, both at the University of Georgia, had to sit out time and one was a jersey situation, one was a signature memorabilia situation, and it's you hate to see stuff like that because it's avoidable. The NCAA, I think, I'm not a huge, I'm not really into bashing the NCAA, but I think sometimes they just take things maybe a little too seriously, and it's unfortunate that we're not able to see the best of the best players when something like this comes out. And from a fan perspective, I would much rather watch Chase Young than at this point whoever's in there instead of him.
Right.
So, it was certainly a disappointment. I don't blame him in any way. Could he have avoided it? Sure. But, I think it's silly.
Yeah. I thought it was just ridiculous. Borrowing money from a family member, to bring his girlfriend out to a game that he was playing in. That was the whole point, to get her out to watch the football game. And then he gets suspended for that, I thought was just a bit much. I mean, there are deserving suspensions all over the place. This one, not so much. But what about the realistic chances? What do you think about the NCAA game coming back? Is this kind of like, you know, things that we'll hear about constantly every year? Oh, look, this is coming back, like the Ford Broncos coming back every single year and then it never comes back. Are we getting into that type of territory with the college football game?
There seems to be some hope that, you know, it's a topic of conversation at NCAA functions, so to speak, or, you know, the Mark Emmert, the president, has talked about the game and, you know, laid out some of the things that would have to happen for it to come back. I hope it does. I hope that if they're able to do it, they're able to work out a way to help compensate the players. Again, I don't blame anybody for it going away, but I certainly would love to have it. I played it every year it existed, basically, and have certainly missed it. I've had to, sadly enough, I've had to play Madden NFL football.
Oh, whatever. Madden's fun too. But I mean, look, the college football game was the best game. It was better than Madden. Not because of the intricacies in the game or anything, but the recruiting and all that stuff is awesome.
Sure.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an immersive game as far as sports games go. And the next closest thing I think we have is MLB The Show, when you can start your road to the show and all that stuff, is a lot of fun as well. I just think the college football game was the best game that we ever had as far as a sports game goes. Obviously, there's a lot of... When was the last time you played an actual physical video game?
I play FIFA.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So yesterday, a little bit, when my wife was making Christmas dinner, I allowed myself a few games of FIFA. And honestly, I probably only got into FIFA because NCAA football went away. It was right around that time. I was getting bored of other games and thought, yeah, okay, I'll give this a try. And have been able to get into soccer a little bit. I'm not anywhere, you know, knowledgeable compared to most people about it, but it's been fun as a fan to get into it a little bit. And FIFA's a part of that, and it's a fun and immersive game as well. So
I got
that was pretty regular for me.
I got Red Dead Redemption 2 for Christmas, but it's from our guy Ryan Barwich, an awesome listener that we've had. He's a good dude. So he sent me Red Dead Redemption 2 for Christmas. But I told, like, he sent it to the Welsh because he had the Welsh as his secret Santa. So he sent him all of his stuff and just threw that in with his stuff. So I told Chris, I'm like, just don't give it to me until I'm done doing my baseball rankings. Like, I have to get my baseball rankings done and then give me that game and I'll play it a little bit. So I'm trying to give it the stiff arm for now because I know, like, once, like, I played MLB The Show, and MLB The Show's fun, but it takes just a level of dedication that I don't have right now. So,
sure.
But Red Dead, you can get lost for, you know, 2 or 3 hours and, you know, just be good. So I'm looking forward to playing that, but I haven't been a big video game guy recently.
I will say I loved, and I didn't get it this past year just because I was taking CFB Winning Edge to a new level, or trying to at least, and so I don't know that I'll ever actually get back into it, but the Out of the Park baseball is up my alley. That,
okay.
It's the computer game, and I think that would be a great vehicle for a college football game as well. And I think somebody years ago has decided, you know, their Football Manager is one. It's a soccer version. Different people make it, but, you know, same type thing. I think there, if anybody out there is a video game developer of that sort of thing, I would play a college football version of that all day, every day, all year. So that's my sort of thing. outside of FIFA is that type of game.
You got a subscriber in Nick if anyone wants to make that. So I like that. Let's look ahead towards 2020 because you have kind of given yourself, a hard time on the CFB Winning Edge podcast when you talk about 2020 when we're, getting into these bowl games. You're like, don't let me go down another rabbit hole on 2020 because you've already been looking forward to it. So I want to hear it. Like, what are the adjustments that CFB Winning Edge is making for 2020? What are some of the things that you're looking to either change, adjust, and what just overall college football wise are you looking forward to the most in 2020?
So the first thing, and yeah, I've always been a preview fan, like the Phil Steele magazines, yeah. Athlon magazines, all that. That's been, I look forward to those all year. And that's for some reason, that's the most fun I have. I love watching college football games. I love, going to games and seeing it all play out. But I think just a little bit more, I just love thinking about what could happen. And so that's partly why I started CFB Winning Edge. And so I am always looking ahead. I have been sort of itching to get started on the 2020 player ratings and making some changes. And first and foremost, the thing that's, once we get the bowl games done, I'm trying to get, one or two here and there. I think I've got about 10 teams done at this point, but I want to update all the rosters, want to update all the, a guy who was a junior, now he's a senior. A guy, gone to the NFL draft, take him off the list, all that sort of stuff. So I've started the 2020 team profiles. Only I have access to it at this point, unfortunately, but probably best because it's pretty messy at this point. No Patreon supporter would want to see it right now. But that's first and foremost. And the very first year I did it, the team profiles didn't even exist. It was in an Excel sheet that only I had access to, and I got
like
that
the musings
done.
Of a madman.
Exactly. and I got that done with days to spare before the season kicked off. And then the 2019, during the 2018 season, moved it from the Excel spreadsheet to Google Sheets, but then it was only I had access to it. And I had a freelance person helping me set up, make it more interactive so that when I change something in one sheet, it would update in another and that sort of stuff. So made some improvements there before 2019, allowed access to Patreon supporters and got it done June 1st, something like that. Got all 130 done. This year, my goal is the February National Signing Day. And that is ambitious, I will tell you. It may not happen, but I think there's a real opportunity, a real legitimate chance to get it done because I have started already and have started earlier than I did in any of the last 2 years. I think we can get it done by mid-February and at the very latest March 1st. So that should be well ahead of any preseason magazine, anything like that. So I'm excited about that and I want to get it done because there's so much more I want to do. I want to take, basically, I want to create the same thing I've got for all 130 teams and all the player ratings. I want to do a similar thing for coach ratings. I have incorporated head coach ratings. I have developed offensive and defensive coordinator ratings, but I haven't expanded them to the level that I want to eventually. And so if I can get the team profiles done in February, then I'll be able to spend a couple of months on doing coaching profiles. And I think that's a huge opportunity to really dive into, what coaches have excelled in certain things. And because it's difficult to evaluate a coach, about like, oh, Mac Brown won a national championship. So he's, he's such a great coach.
Should we even count that? I mean, it was so long ago at this point. I mean, of course, exactly. I remember it. But, it was the same year the Steelers won the Super Bowl, and that was Bill Cowher, who is now retired and working for CBS.
So, sure.
That's a long time ago.
So, yeah, and so it's sort of, I want to see more of a year-to-year change, and I want to see more, I want to put more effort into the coaching side of things, and player development, and you know, who is really developing players best? Is it Kirk Ferentz in Iowa, who's got, you know, a roster that ranks 40th in roster strength, but has been consistently, you know, making Iowa a top 25 team? Is he the best one? Is somebody else out there? You know, I want to dig more into the coaches, and that's the next big thing that I want to do. But I've also got some real interest in doing player stat projections, getting those out. I think all the CFF guys would be interested in that, and I do want to expand college fantasy football content, and really want to create more content. I have a writing background. I write for, I don't know, half a dozen sites or something, and it would be nice. I love them all, but it would be nice to eventually move into a point where I'm writing more for CFB Winning Edge than anybody else, and I think our patrons would appreciate that as well. So want to do that. I've got a couple of ideas kicking around for some bigger written projects as well, and hopefully there will be time to do it. But the first thing is get those team profiles updated for 2020, and then we'll see what sort of timeline we're working with for what's available for the 2020 season. But I've got big plans, really excited about this year and beyond. And hey, if anybody out there is listening and you have a background in web development or sports writing or you know, any of that sort of stuff, and are interested maybe in you know, chipping in and helping out, I have an interest in expanding my team a bit. I don't have any concrete plans just yet. I've had some basic conversations with some people I trust and respect in the industry, and we might have an opportunity to work together, collaborate, but I'm open to new opportunities as well. So if somebody has you know, been interested in some of the things we're talking about here and wants to be a part of it, reach out. Maybe there's something we can work on together.
Just looking ahead and reflecting, and I know you haven't been able to go through everything so far, obviously. A lot of stuff you've already, like you've already talked about many times, you're looking ahead for next year, because previewing and, you know, getting things right, prognosticating is a lot of fun, you know, but is there a team that jumps up a ton for next year that maybe we're not looking at right now? Or is there maybe a new number one? Or what have you seen so far looking ahead to next year that has kind of leapt off the page at you?
So, unfortunately, I don't know just yet who's going to make a big jump. And honestly, probably if I were to guess as who's that going to be, it's going to be sort of a weird result because our numbers, like I've mentioned before, take recruiting rankings as the ingredient number one. They're going to look a little bit more like the, you know, national 247 composite rating. So maybe somebody like a South Carolina, who right now is 54th in our team strength ratings because they have not produced, you know, excellent team performance ratings. They ranked 63rd this year, but they have the 22nd strongest roster in the country. So they have a potential to be a top 25 team from a power rating standpoint. But then even if they're 22nd in roster strength, that's ninth in the SEC. So that means they're going to be an underdog, you know, at least half the time in conference play. So you know, they might start in the top 25, but finish in the 50s again, and that wouldn't shock me at all. But so I think there's a potential for something like that. Tennessee, you know, in a similar way, they're looking like potentially a top 25 team in the preseason. I haven't quite gotten my mind around who's going to be number one next year because I'm actually getting ready to write a way too early 1-30 piece.
It's going to be Clemson. See, everybody knows it's going to be Clemson. They're going to be number one. Trevor Lawrence coming back. Number one recruiting class. They're one. We know it. So, but I can talk about this for hours and hours, but we do have to go. We got to hit a break. But Nick, thank you so much for coming by at CFB Winning Edge. Check out all the stuff. It's going to be a great 2020 season and a great finish to the 2019 season. But we got to hit a break. We'll be right back. with Casey Bubba to talk about the week 17 in the NFL. Stick with us.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.